Coming up on the Inside Indiana Business Television podcast, Indiana's top economic development official steps down. A homegrown tech company is looking to protect your hearing. A booming brewery brings some unusual ingredients to your beer. A popular PR firm marks a milestone. An entrepreneur's charcuterie side hustle turns into a full-time gig. A longtime Indiana sports writer is being honored. And Central Indiana hopes the NCAA tournament can entice some people to stay. Welcome to the Inside Indiana Business Television podcast. I'm Andy Ober. Jim Schellinger stepped down from his position as Indiana Secretary of Commerce at the beginning of March. So what's next? Schellinger joined Inside Indiana Business host Gary Dick to talk about his future plans and what's ahead for Indiana's economy in 2021.
What led to the decision? Because, as I said, a lot of people, myself included, very surprised when you announced that you indeed were stepping away as Secretary of Commerce.
Well, you reach a point as a leader, and I've only really had two jobs in my life. I worked at CSO Architects as CEO and chairman, president at one point, and then with the IDC as secretary. And you reach a point, my predecessor used to say, you know, you have a shelf life. You're not a Twinkie. And he said, you go in with a splash, do the things you want to do, set out the vision for the group to get things achieved, which we did, make your mark and leave with just barely a ripple. And that was always his advice to me. And he was my business mentor, the only business mentor I had. And I just followed his lead. And I think we got to a point where we've set every record at IDC under Governor Eric Holcomb's leadership, which, as you know, is absolutely phenomenal. And then our pipeline is extremely strong, strongest it's ever been, with 13,000 jobs in the pipeline and over $3.8 billion in CapEx. So we're really position at this point in time as a state. We've proven ourselves. We're really, one could say, we're on fire. And I think that's a good time to bring in someone with a new vision, with new thoughts, to take us to that next level.
What, Jim, was it a tough decision for you to make?
Absolutely. Hardest decision of my life. I thought on the way to the show here today, I had the best job in the state of Indiana, and I didn't love every minute of it. I loved every single second of it. It was such an honor to represent the people of Indiana, such an honor to be a part of their livelihoods and the businesses, to help the businesses thrive. I can't hardly describe how that was. Every single day was a joy. And I say the best job in the state of Indiana. There might be somebody would argue that being on Inside Indiana Business might be the best job in Indiana. But I thought it was absolutely the best job, and it was such an honor to serve our board, to serve Governor Holcomb, the legislators, and most importantly, the businesses and families of Indiana.
Yep, should mention Mike Staton has been elevated within the organization to interim Secretary of Commerce as a search for your successor continues. But Jim, you mentioned the pipeline, which you say is robust, and you've got some examples for us this week, some brand new news on some major economic development deals. Among them, what came out this week, Alliance RV up in northern Indiana.
Yeah, there's two brothers up in northern Indiana, and they've developed a special place in my heart. So there's Coley Brady and Ryan Brady, and both Notre Dame graduates, just by coincidence. Their father went to Notre Dame, and their grandfather went to Notre Dame. And they started Alliance RV quite some time ago. They're about 350 people today, a booming business, and they've just now committed. Just now, this is hot off the press. It won't be made public till next week, but hot off the press, they're going to add 650 people to their team, and they're going to invest another $33.3 million in their organization. Wow. So they're on fire. They couldn't happen to a nicer couple of guys. They're really hardworking people. And they, when I had mentioned to them a while back that I would be on your show at this point, they said, could you please announce that? Because they are a big fan of yours, Gary.
I appreciate that. Another major announcement ready to be announced now, Phoenix Financial Services. It's here in central Indiana. They're going to have a major expansion in Anderson.
Yeah, and I talked to Chad Edmondson about that, and that's Phoenix Financial is a financial services company, and again, in Anderson, Madison County, which we're proud of. And they've already got 220 people up there in that organization. They're going to be adding 300 people. And the thing I should go back and remiss in not saying about Alliance RV is the capital X of 33.3 $23 billion. The number of jobs is impressive. But the average wage of Alliance RV is $42.45. Mm-hmm. And the average wage of Phoenix Financial is $38.25. Wow. So the wages of these jobs, all in all, right now, we spoke about 1,200 jobs. Mm-hmm. And the average wage for them is about $38 or $39. And that is something that I know the governor and the team at IDC are constantly honing in on. How do we improve the lifestyles of people throughout Indiana, that per capita income?
Okay, only have a limited amount of time here, Jim, unfortunately, but another big announcement, Greenleaf Foods got a major investment planned in Shelbyville, but they're coming to Marion County as well, taking over the old Kaito Foods building.
Yeah, I spoke to Dan Curtin, our CEO, last night. They're based up in Montreal. He lives in Chicago, and they're going to put $100 million into that Kaito Food building. It was formerly their cafeteria, because they can't wait for 3 years. Their building is very intense, as you can imagine, for plant-based proteins and all the FDA approvals and things they have to go through. So they've purchased that building. They're going to employ 115 people there, and that building will stay there in perpetuity. It's not just there until they get the new building. It's there in perpetuity. So their focus right now is Marion County.
Hey, Jim, sorry, we've got 15 seconds. Next steps, next move. Anything in mind?
You know, I've been asked that a couple times. I said, Laura wants to know that too, my wife. But I purposefully said when I left this job, this assignment that I love so very much, I wasn't going to have a next step because I wanted it to be pure. I wanted people to know I did it for the right reasons, not as a stepping stone. Yep. So I'm, for the first time in 36 years, unemployed. But I'll start working on it after I get my sea legs back.
Okay, good. And we'll look forward to reporting on that when that happens. Jim Schellinger, outgoing Secretary of Commerce, is thanks very much. Thanks for your service as well.
Thank you, Gary.
All right.
In 2015, Pete Murphy left the corporate world to create Haven Technologies, which produces IsoTunes, an in-ear version of an electronic hearing protector. The company has grown from a family working in their house to establishing a global footprint. Murphy came on the show to detail IsoTunes and talk about what's next for the company.
You were a veteran of the corporate world, 3M, Dow, Honeywell, and made the decision to push that aside and go the entrepreneurial route. What made you do that?
Well, I'm an old guy, and I'd had some success with some of those companies and thought before I retire, I wanted to do something on my own. And I always, have had innovative flair, and I wanted to sort of scratch that itch, if you will.
Yeah, and you created a safety product company. Haven Technologies, really using technology to create these products, in particular electronic hearing protection. You started small, you, your wife, and son out of your Carmel home, but you've grown substantially. Talk about this hearing product and what it's all about.
So basically, it came on at a time when Bluetooth innovation was just coming up, and it offered an opportunity for people to work in noisy environments, but stay connected to their phone. And so I'll give you an example, Gary. If you were cutting your grass, for example, our devices really do a great job of blocking out the noise from the mower and allow you just to stream music. And if you get a phone call, the music stops, the phone rings in the headset, and then you can talk on the phone with, without a problem. And the person on the other end of the line, they can't hear them more because of some noise canceling technology.
Yeah, that's amazing. Talk about sales. You've grown into a global company distributing products around the globe. How are sales?
Sales are, knock on wood, are excellent right now. It's driven by the innovation that our team is creating. And that's really the driver of our business is the innovation, the continuous innovation. We're always looking to make better products.
As you mentioned, probably drive around $10 million in sales and growing. And interesting applications in manufacturing, construction, telecom, but you're looking to expand into a whole new area probably next month.
Yeah, so we're introducing a line of product called IsoTunes Sport, which are going to be targeted towards the sport shooting and range shooting and competitive shooting type places. And in that environment, it's obviously very loud, so that's very appropriate for us. And the type of technology that we have allows it to electronically block off that loud noise, but allow you to continue to talk to the people beside you. and we're going to have an in-ear version and as well as an over-ear version, a more traditional hearing protector.
Yeah, only have about 30 seconds, Pete, but as you look at growth opportunities, obviously you see it in the sport area. How do you look at growth prospects for the company going forward?
You know, we're looking hard down the road at other areas of safety. You know, we're first and foremost a safety products company, and we're looking for other areas to bring some technology, whether that be safety glasses, hard hats, respirators, other areas where we can add some value for the end users.
Pete Murphy is the founder and CEO at Haven Technologies, great example of innovation and entrepreneurship as well. Pete, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to following your story.
Yeah, thanks very much, Gary. Appreciate it.
How about a jelly donut with your beer? How about a jelly donut in your beer? Plainfield-based Brewlink Brewing features 24 unique beers and has opened a second location in Indianapolis. Reporter Mary Rachel Redman has the story behind this booming brewery.
You may recognize 714 North Capitol as the former home of 2D Brewing, but there's a brand new tenant in town that has craft beer connoisseurs and even the most fickle of foodies talking.
We're going to be a unique fit for downtown Indy because I think from a brewery perspective, I mean, we really, really focus on the beer, you really focus on the beverages, and you really want to have a good time with that. We want to stay outside the box with the options.
It's different from other places because we're so unique with the recipes that we have, you know, peanut butter in one, we have salted caramel in one, blueberry donut, we have bacon in one right now.
And speaking of bacon, the menu at Brewlink is far from what you'd expect when you picture your run-of-the-mill bar fare. Quite the opposite, in fact.
Not everyone, you know, focuses on the food. It's more of an afterthought, and we don't want that to be the case.
We didn't want to be confused with a bar. We're a brew pub. The food, we want to stand out.
The key to Brewlink's mouth-watering cuisine?
It's the sauces. One of the bartenders said it best. It either needs to have sauce, cheese, or gravy on it, and you're going to have a great menu. I think that's going to resonate with the Indiana population.
And the best thing about Brewlink, it's not just beer. We've also got brunch, and we're talking delicious eats. Every Saturday, every Sunday, 10 to 6, not only do you have food, you have delicious homemade cocktails.
We paired up some of our breakfast cocktails. I mean, honestly, we already have a donut beer, the Stone Cold Hazy. You might as well drink it as orange juice. It's perfect for that. And then we have some signature cocktails that we have on the menu, the Honey Badger, the Spicy Margarita, Brunch Punch, and this Hoosier Shake Up Lemonade. It tastes like the State Fair.
And for those consuming adult beverages,
this location,
right off the cultural trail, maybe not even a block, so that go down walking with your family and stop in for lunch. So
lunch, brunch.
Yeah, brunch, cocktails, beer.
And with big-time college hoops just down the street, Brewlink says it's poised to provide one slam dunk of an experience.
We are going to do some fun stuff on a daily basis. And as we go into the weekend, we're going to dedicate some new beers to the madness.
We're not too far from where it's all going to happen. If they're looking for good food and good drinks before they head to the game, they should stop by here.
But March Madness is just the beginning. The Brewlink crew has plans to be a fixture in downtown Indy for years to come.
I mean, we're looking for something that is going to be here for the next 20 years and just be a part of the city and the growth. I mean, we're looking for everyone in the neighborhood to know that you can come hang out, whether it's your watering hole, whether it's your restaurant. We're going to be here for you the next 20 years and something that hopefully we can pass down to our kids.
Mary Rachel Redman, Inside Indiana Business.
Public relations firm Vox Global Indianapolis is celebrating 10 years in the city. The firm's clients include the Lumina Foundation and the U.S. Navy. Managing Director Mike Marker and Senior Vice President Francesca Jarosz Brady joined us with more on the company's mission.
Mike, I'll start with you because I remember when you launched the firm here in Indianapolis. Doesn't seem like 10 years ago. What does it seem like to you? What do you remember about those early days of establishing an office here in Indiana?
Yeah, you know, a couple of things come to mind as I go down memory lane. Right? It's been a great ride, a wonderful first 10 years. And we've really been able to support clients across a number of different interesting kind of sectors, vibrant sectors, everything from education and healthcare and the environment to issues around animal conservation and workforce development. And it's really been quite a ride. As I think about kind of the early days, we were able to start work with Lumina Foundation, which continues to be a client. They're doing such really interesting work as it relates to education beyond high school, and also with NDOT and Governor Daniels, too.
Yeah, we had video of Governor Daniels on I-69 on his motorcycle. I remember that. We were down there. Mike, how has business, how has the sector changed in your view briefly?
You know, the sector's evolved in terms of way people consume information. Certainly people still get their information from newspaper and TV and radio, but it's also expanded too to social media and other platforms. And so we've really evolved as our clients' needs have, where they want to reach their audiences where they're at. So we've evolved to help them make that happen.
Francesca, you can talk about that evolution too. You were a journalist, I think, by trade, moved to the Mine Trust, then to Vox Global. How have you seen, what changes have you seen in the marketplace and the dynamics that you see are at play right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think building off of what Mike said, it's not only how we're reaching our audiences differently, but what we know about our audiences. And we, I think, through both micro-level data and really more macro-level data, are really able to understand our audiences in ways that we haven't been able to in the past. So through, you know, big data tools, we can know how people vote and what kind of shoes they want to buy and what they believe about certain things. And then through behavioral science, which is really an emerging field that our team has tapped into and leveraged, especially in the last 2 years, we know, you know, big things about how people make decisions and process information. So we're really, really trying to use those forces to the benefit of our clients to target our messaging more effectively. Yeah.
And I know you believe that's a really a trend and a path for the future. Just limited time here, Mike, only have about 25 seconds, unfortunately. But as you look at the merging of education and workforce, as you look at things that are really beginning to get more and more attention and traction, that's one of the areas.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of work in the education space, and in the state and around the country, education and workforce development are now more married up than ever. And so we're doing a lot of work with entities around Indiana, around the country, to help them help get more people prepared for the workforce of the future and get them the credentials and certificates that they need.
Mike, Francesca, thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Remember, you can catch Inside Indiana Business Television on stations throughout the state every weekend. Head to InsideIndianaBusiness.com to check listings. When Hannah Esteban started delivering charcuterie food boxes as a side hustle, she didn't plan on it becoming a full-time gig. Her porch drop service has become a big hit in the Lafayette area during the pandemic. She told the story of the charcuterie girl to Kylie Valletta in The Business of Health.
So let's talk about how your business got its start. I know it has quite literally been a leap of faith for you.
It really has. So I started the week of Valentine's, so just like a month ago. I was just sitting at work kind of frustrated with my schooling, just with COVID, things weren't working, things weren't, you know, classes weren't available, they weren't able to find teachers. So I was just kind of frustrated at work, like I should have graduated in December and it wasn't happening. So I felt like I just had this idea at work. It was almost like God was just telling me, like, you've got all these ideas, so why don't you just go for it? So I texted my husband that day and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go to the store. I'm going to buy some food and I'm going to order supplies and make up a box and just see if anyone would be interested in ordering for Valentine's. And I had like 60 orders that first week.
That's incredible. Your boxes are so beautiful. They really are almost too pretty to eat. Really helping people eat the rainbow. They're so colorful. Yeah. Give us an idea. What's inside the boxes?
So they have a variety of meats, cheeses, crackers, pita bread. I do chocolate dipped strawberries, all kinds of berries, veggies, honey, jam, goat cheese. There's a huge variety in it, and it's pretty guilt-free.
Right. We were talking about there's a few treats mixed in, but it's mostly pretty natural, healthy foods.
Yeah. Yeah. You can feel good about eating.
Right. Feel good about eating them. They are beautiful. Your Instagram just makes me smile when I look at it. So tell me what response has been like. I know you mentioned right out of the gate on Valentine's Day, things really took off. It's been about a month. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been overwhelming in all the best ways. I just I keep saying, like, every week, I'm like, God's just, like, blowing my mind. It's been really amazing. Every day there's more and more orders. So it just keeps picking up, and it's really taken off. So I feel really blessed and grateful.
I know porch deliveries are your main focus, but you have some clients that are thinking outside the box. Got my little pun in there. Yeah. What are some of the other creative orders or creative ways that people are getting in touch with you for your services?
Yeah, so I've had a couple businesses order as, like, gifts for their employees. So, like, Employee Appreciation Day was a few weeks ago. So a dental office ordered from me. People are now asking if I can do, like, event tables. So that's something I'm hoping to get into. I've booked a few, like, smaller parties. It's kind of how I want to keep it, where I can do big grazing tables or come set up their boards and trays for them. And, yeah, I'm really excited. There's a lot of opportunities with it.
All right. So just a few seconds left, Hannah, but I know you have some big dreams for the future for your business. Tell me what you're hoping to do, you know, down the line.
Yeah. So we actually bought my grandparents' property. It's been in the family for over 65 years. And my grandpa was a woodworker. So we have a barn that's not being used right now. So for the future, you know, dreaming big would be to have deliveries and a shipping facility out of there and be able to turn it into a commercial kitchen. So a lot of big dreams for the future. I'm excited.
Well, Hannah, I know that that would be pretty neat to turn that same woodworking business into a new business. I think these are great pick-me-ups during COVID. We all need a little mental health break, something to cheer us all, and great to your delivered right to your porch. So I think it's great, Hannah. Thanks for being on the show today, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
The University of Indianapolis is expanding its rapidly growing engineering school with the opening of the R.B. Annis Hall. UIND President Rob Manuel and R.B. Annis School of Engineering Associate Dean and Director Ken Reed say the facility will benefit students, industry partners, and the Central Indiana economy. They joined us in our Ion Education segment.
Big news, this totally renovated building, the new R.B. Annis Hall on the campus of UIND. And I know the dedication is next week, so it's going to be a big day. Rob, when you talk about engineering at UIND, it wasn't that long ago that this really became a focus. Why the focus on engineering? I know it's something that's really beginning to grow, but why do engineering at UIND?
Sure. So we are a comprehensive liberal arts institution, which means we try to find the sweet spot between creating knowledge and practicing it. And when we look out into the economic development of our region, we want to make sure our programs are meeting those needs. And there's a big need inside of the engineering world to have creative programming developed. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we started that process. And next week, we'll open our 80,000 square foot building to a brand new set of programs.
Yeah, 80,000 square foot facility. An indication, I would think, that there's real demand, too, on the student side, the real interest in engineering.
We've seen quite a bit of inquiries and applicants and students coming to be interested in these programs. And I think once they see the facilities and they meet the now 19 new faculty that we've just hired and kind of see the what's going to happen in the connection between them and the faculty and the facility, they're going to be pretty impressed.
Ken Reed, you're the Associate Dean of the R.B. Annis School of Engineering at UIND. You're new to the role, coming from Virginia Tech after being there for several years. Talk about this new space, Ken, and really from an engineering, from a student standpoint, what it means.
Sure. Really, the thing that this building affords us the opportunity to do is to work with more students, of course, for expansion, but it also gives us some state-of-the-art lab space. I think the exciting thing is our students have the chance to work with local partners with our design spine curriculum, and that is where students from their first year all the way to the fourth year are going to work with partners on real, authentic designs. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna deliver designs to companies. Companies are sponsoring them. They're going to work with how do you communicate with clients, different things like that. I think that's really unique part of our engineering curriculum. And this building is going to give us a lot more really state-of-the-art space to do that, to have those meetings and bring in those partnerships.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more, if you would, about the partnerships and students' abilities to really connect directly with companies, with the private sector here in central Indiana. What that means, you know, for the region, for Indianapolis, but also for the students coming out after 4 years of that, got to give them, in many respects, a leg up.
Absolutely. So, we work with a number of different central Indiana businesses, and we're expanding out all the time and always interested in establishing partnerships with more and more businesses to get different projects in. One good example is the Institute for Affordable Transportation. So our student team has designed a basic utility vehicle that's going to be for specifically for low-cost areas, perhaps developing countries and different places like that. So our students have worked on a basic design components of that, worked with that institute. They've been really happy with that project so far. Mm-hmm. We've worked with a couple of other industry within Indiana. It definitely does give our students a leg up. And hopefully one of the goals, I think, is to keep them here and keep them in Indiana pursuing an engineering career, and really be a boost to the state and the region.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rob. To that point, that connection, supplying the talent pipeline, if you will, in Indiana, more specifically perhaps here in central Indiana. How important is that to you, Indy's mission?
It's critical both to not only educate within our walls, but to understand the role we play as part of our society. I'll tell you that we've got about 65 or 70% of our students that come to us from Indiana, but about 86% of our alums live in the state.
Wow.
So we're a net importer of talent to the economic development of our region.
Yeah. Rob, end up with you. Just got to ask you a question about, obviously, hopefully coming out of the pandemic now. How do things look looking ahead to the fall? Do you anticipate things will begin to get perhaps back to some sense of normalcy on campus?
I do, and I've been so impressed with the creativity and the dedication of our faculty, our staff, and our students. We're now currently testing a considerable number of people a week, and we're less than 1% positivity rate. As the vaccines continue to roll out and we continue to welcome people into the fall term, we expect to have robust campus operations and people back in community with each other come August and September.
Exciting times at the University of Indianapolis. Dedication in the week ahead of the R.B. Annis Hall, the new R.B. Annis Hall. Really pleased to be joined this week. Thanks very much, Rob Manuel, president at UIndy. Also, Ken Reed, the associate dean at the School of Engineering there. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay.
A longtime Central Indiana sports writer and educator is being honored for his work by the Indiana Sports Corp. Malcolm Moran has been named the organization's inspiring sports storyteller. The IUPUI Sports Capital Journalism Program Director joined Bill Benner on Inside Indiana Sports.
Again, congratulations. The Storyteller Award, inspiring storyteller, I mean, and your career goes back many, many years. You've covered virtually every great sporting event, not only in America, but throughout the world. But just your initial reaction, Malcolm, to being honored in this manner.
I think I'm still in shock, really. Because it, even though it's hard to believe, as of this summer, it will be 15 years since I left industry for the Academy. And so somebody has a really good memory, or old yellow clips, or both. But when you think of the people that do that job currently really well in this market alone, they have more than enough candidates to choose from. So it's extremely humbling.
Well, Malcolm, I think you're also being recognized not only as your own ability, which I recall very well, to be a storyteller, but what you've imparted to now, for 7 or 8 years, the last 7 or 8 years, to students at IUPUI through the Sports Capital Journalism Project. And for people who might not know, just give us a brief description of what that program entails.
Well, it's got multiple levels. The MA in sports journalism on the IUPUI campus was the first of its kind when it was created a little over a decade ago. And now I think largely through the visibility of the program, a number of other schools have established master's in sports journalism, so it means that it's a more competitive field, and students have more choices. We also have an undergraduate sports journalism concentration, and so we have opportunities for both undergraduates and graduate students, and the NCAA tournament opportunity is the latest one and probably the most ambitious thing that we've done since I've been here.
And again, we're into it now. The tournament is beginning, and away we go. You will have coverage, mostly, I think, on NCAA.com, but your students will be certainly embedded and providing in-depth coverage throughout the course of the tournament. And that has to be and you've taken them to the Olympics and previous Final Fours and so many, but to be this here with your home turf and the entirety of March Madness, this is an incredible special opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. And really, the payoff, and I've given the spoiler alert to the students already, the payoff is, in a very short period of time, the progress they make from when they first walk into the venue for that first four or first round game, and they're a little bit wide-eyed, and what am I doing here, and can I do this, which is all natural. But then they focus in, and as I remind them, this is my 42nd tournament, I think I know what I'm doing, I've got your back, and my role is to make you look good. And to see them become more confident, sometimes hour by hour, I mean, I've seen that happen at something like the college football playoff. And then the real payoff is that when they emerge at the end of the experience and they know they can do it, they don't need somebody like me to tell them they can do it because they know they can. And that has translated into jobs. And so that's really why I'm so grateful for this opportunity.
Malcolm, we got less than a minute left. Difficult to sum up the Indianapolis input into staging in the entirety of March Madness, including the Final Four. But again, an incredible, unique time in our city's sports history.
Well, and you've seen it all happen from a number of vantage points, but I can remember I did not attend the 1980 Final Four, but I have a lot of friends that did. And there was zero buildup as far as being excited to come here. In 1980, Indianapolis was just another stop. And to see what it's become, where not only is it a highlight among all the Final Four sites, but a place that can even think about trying to pull this off is just a stunning advance over that time.
Well, Malcolm, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations again on the Inspiring Sports Storyteller as part of the Pathfinder Awards, April 1st. And again, congratulations on that award. And we'll see you around sometime during the month of March.
Where else would you want to be?
And finally this week, March Madness is underway in central Indiana. And the Indiana Destination Development Corporation is hoping it will showcase why the state is an ideal place to live, work, and stay. A campaign featuring David Letterman and Sage Steele is featuring Indiana residents doing remarkable things. Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch and IDDC Secretary and CEO Elaine Beadle joined us with details on the effort.
Governor, I'll start with you. Hashtag MyInCrowd. What is this campaign really all about?
Well, as you said at the beginning, all eyes are on Indiana right now. I mean, this is all about basketball. And what we want to do is to be sure that we put our best foot forward and we introduce the world to Indiana and everything we have to offer here. And who better to tell the story than people that are here in Indiana, either by choice or by birth. Mm-hmm. And so this campaign to really kind of introduce the outside world to Indiana and all we have to offer and our quality of life is what this campaign is truly all about.
Yeah. Elaine, talk about the campaign itself, because there are videos and a website. You're going to really launch this streaming during March Madness. Talk about the videos, some of the people that will be highlighted. As I mentioned, Sage Steele and Dave Letterman, very integral to the campaign as well.
Right. We've got six different 15-second videos, and Dave Letterman does the voiceover in all of them. You showed one of Kay, right. Kay, I just love that one. I think that one's great. Jerry Lee Atwood, who's someone else that we may not know, but he makes beautiful embroidered suits for the stars. Mm-hmm. And so someone, again, who's known nationally, but we probably haven't told that story either. So again, six videos, and you can go, they'll be on the streaming services. So as soon as the games start playing on the streaming services, you'll be able to see those intermittently. But you can also go to visitindiana.com/incrowd and see all six of them right now. And hear Dave Letterman, as well as hear Sage Seal, talk about the videos. And then the great part is you can be part of this. And we want people to be part of this. That's how we get this out on the national scene, is if everybody keeps pushing it out on their social media and using the hashtag MyInCrowd, so that you can upload your own videos, which will also end up on our website.
Yeah, and I know a big part of this, a big focus is perception, is changing perceptions. I think traditionally, Indiana hasn't necessarily had a bad perception. It's just maybe no perception outside of Indiana. And this is about maybe changing some minds.
Couldn't agree more. I always say we're humble Hoosiers. We work hard, put our nose to the grindstone, we do what's right. We don't expect pats on the back, but we aren't very good of telling our story. And that's what Elaine and her campaign is doing.
Yeah. And
right, Elaine?
Elaine, the Indiana Destination Development Corporation, that broader focus is on talent, that talent pipeline, right. Keeping people here, but importantly, getting people to come here and see what Indiana is all about.
Right. Our target really is to attract talent, to retain those great graduates that we have from our universities, and then to convert any visitors that come here. Give them an opportunity to see what it might be to live, work, start their own business right here in Indiana.
Yeah, and the unique aspect of the entirety of March Madness being in Indiana, I guess to launch a campaign at this particular moment couldn't be much more perfect, I wouldn't think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we had just a short window to be able to do this. And so thanks to the leadership of the Lieutenant Governor, we were able to get all the troops together and move forward with this. And I think we're going to be very proud of what it does. And again, if we can get everybody to help push it out, we'll have a huge megaphone on a national stage.
Yeah. And Governor, I'll give you the last word, too, about attracting people statewide, not just to Indianapolis, but all over the state of Indiana, really showcasing the attributes of the state to get folks interested in the entire state of Indiana.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we know this isn't just about Indianapolis. We're playing games at Purdue. We're playing games at IU in Bloomington. And then they're going to have the Division II games in my hometown of Evansville.
Right.
So we're telling the story of Indiana. And who better to tell it than people from Indiana?
All right. It's a creative, really unique campaign. Hashtag my in crowd. You'll be seeing a lot of it, I'm sure, during March Madness, all focused here in Indiana. Suzanne Crouch, Indiana's Lieutenant Governor, also Elaine Beadle, the Secretary and CEO at the Indiana Destination Development Corporation. Ladies, thanks very much. We looking forward to following the campaign.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you.
That wraps up this week's Inside Indiana Business Television podcast. Remember, you can find all of this week's TV segments, as well as the top business news from throughout the state, at InsideIndianaBusiness.com. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our platform of free e-newsletters. This is Andy Ober for Inside Indiana Business.